Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. I think this is the time of the year often when we have family coming in, visiting, and it's encouraging to see new faces and familiar faces and those who are visiting this morning. Thank you. A couple of announcements before we begin. First of all, I wanted to mention that I continue to be excited about passing out our bulletin, and Wednesday night David wanted to get a few extra to put out at his work, and Phil mentioned the same thing. And I started a couple of weeks ago with 50 bulletins, and we're up to 70. So let's keep that going, keep moving in that same direction. So if you would like to have some copies of those, just let me know so that we can get those in your box. We want to share the word. We want to use that as a teaching opportunity. Of course, it also has our church information on it, and it's good for inviting others to services. Also wanted to mention this evening's lesson. I alluded to this last week, but this evening we want to talk about why, as a church or as a congregation, that we will not be having a special Christmas religious program next Sunday. That might be something that is asked of you, and we need to be able to talk about that from God's Word. And our service next Sunday will be exactly like this service. Why is that? We're not just wanting to be different to be different. There is a biblical reason for that, and we want to consider that this evening. Now, not to preach this evening's sermon this morning, I did want to mention one other point, and that is to maybe alleviate any concerns you may have. I do believe that it is possible for Christians to observe that in a non-religious way and in a civil holiday type of way. And so there is a place for that, and we'll be talking about that as well. But primarily, why is it that we will not be doing that as a church religious holiday like so many others do? And I thought that would be good for us to consider that from God's Word. If you'll turn with me this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in just a moment we will be considering a verse there where Solomon talks about he who regards the clouds. I remember growing up as a child, my father always wanted to watch the evening news. We got a lot of Peter Jennings growing up. And along with the evening news, there was also, he always wanted to get the weather. Always had to watch the weather. And I think I got that from him because I want to do that as well. I noticed that we were going to have a warm day yesterday. I noticed that earlier in the week. And so I wrapped up some of those leaves that hadn't gotten cleaned up back in the fall, and yesterday was a good day for that. I also noticed that it was going to be really cold overnight. Might have some ice and sleet and that type of thing because I watched the weather. There's nothing wrong with watching the weather. There's nothing wrong with getting the forecast. But Solomon is talking about a person who looks up at the clouds just simply to maybe give him an excuse why he shouldn't go out and do what he needs to do. This morning we're going to consider the statement there in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4 to encourage us to stay busy and stay active in our personal lives and in the Lord's work and in serving the Lord. If you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, what you're looking at really is a book that has a number of sayings, wisdom, wise sayings regarding life. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, just go back to the previous chapter there, you'll notice in verse chapter 10 and chapter 10 and verse 10, wisdom is profitable to direct. That really is a theme of the book of Ecclesiastes, giving us wisdom to direct our lives. And a lot of times Ecclesiastes is willing to be hard-hitting about those things in life, good things in life and even bad things in life. And Solomon is just very open and clear about good things happening and bad things happening in life. And here's the wisdom on how to handle that kind of thing. So really, Ecclesiastes has numerous sayings of wisdom to help us get through life. Just a few examples of this. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. The proper and improper use of our tongue and words. You look at verse 16, the right and wrong kind of leader or prince. Verse 18, this morning's topic, slothfulness, the roof, by slothfulness the roof sinketh in, and through idleness of the hands the house leaketh. And then we find the verses 19, a purpose for getting together and enjoying a good time. Verse 20, be careful with your tongue. Don't revile or tear down a civil leader and gossip, that type of thing. And so just, you see, it's just a number of different kinds of topics. Bang, 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 back to back in a quick fashion type of way. That brings us then to chapter 11, and what we want to look at here in the immediate context are some exhortations to active labor. And as we come down to the close of this year, and Lord willing, we begin a new year, I want us to think about, will this be just the same thing as it's always been? Was this year for us the same as it was last year? We're just not really growing. We're not adding anything to our spiritual growth. Will next year be just like this year, where we just sort of go through the motions? Rick prayed about being zealous and earnest and excited and on fire to serve. And that's what this morning's lesson is also about. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 together. Solomon writes, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yea, even unto eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the wind, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who doeth all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not what shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." I want us to consider this morning the statement in verse 4, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." Solomon is not saying, don't get the weather forecast. Solomon is talking about the individual who looks up in the clouds and he says, well, it's just not ideal for me to go out today and do what I need to do, so I'm not going to do anything. It's the person who just waits and the person who looks and says, well, I think there could be a better time later, and so I'm just not going to do anything. That's what Solomon is talking about. And to make it clear that there are times when we do not know some things, notice how this statement in verse 4 is set in a context where there are things said above it and things said below it, where Solomon is clear that sometimes we don't know some things. And there's some times in life where we don't know some things. But on the things that we do know, we need to get up and get busy and be active. Start back in verse 1 and 2 with me, and let's go down through the context. And notice how Solomon alternates back and forth between you can get up and do some things. There are some things you don't know, but then there are some things you do know, and on those things you need to be busy. Verses 1 and 2, you can get up and do some things. Cast thy bread upon the waters is an expression probably dealing with a business venture or sharing with others, or getting out and being active. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You can get a return. If you'll get out and be busy, you'll get fruit for your labor. There'll be a return. In verse 2, give a portion to seven, yea, to eight. In that seven and eight combination, that means be bountiful. Don't be stingy and just bare minimum, but be abundant in your giving. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So you can do these things. You can be active, and when you're active, you'll get a return. But then look at verse 3. He's aware, as we are, that there are some things in life that we cannot control. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Verse 3, you might be thinking, why do we need a verse in the Bible to tell us the obvious? If a tree falls, wherever the tree falls, that's where it is. Why do we need a verse in the Bible to tell us the obvious? This verse is put in there to say that there are some things that we cannot control. We don't control the rain. We don't control the wind. Yesterday I was trying to blow some leaves with a leaf blower, and I'm blowing them. What's the wind doing? It's blowing them the opposite direction. I'm blowing them one way. The wind's blowing them back the other way. I can't control that. We don't control when the clouds release their rain. And this is not talking about a man cutting a tree down, but when the tree falls naturally, it'll fall in the north or the south. Wherever it falls, that's where it lays. Solomon is saying there's some things that we cannot control. He's aware of that. He knows that. But verse 4 then, that does not give us an excuse not to do anything. And so in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Some say, well, there's some things in life I don't know, so every day I'm just not going to do anything. No, we need to be busy. Then come with me to verse 5. We don't know the way of the wind. Now, your version might say spirit. The Hebrew ruach can mean in some context wind, as in the wind that's blowing outside. It can mean the spirit that is in man or the breath that is in man. So that's why you see that alternative reading there. But whether it's the wind outside, we don't control that. Or even if it's the spirit that is growing in man, and it may be that, because look at the context of verse 5, how the bones do grow in the womb that her that is with child. We don't control that. God gives us our spirit, and that baby grows inside the mother, and that's not something that we're in control of. We're in control when that baby is ready to be delivered, but we don't do any of that growing. We don't do any of that maturing inside the womb for those 9 months. God is in control of that. And that's a beautiful thing. I think about Psalm 139, about how that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and how that God forms that child in the womb, and that's a great case for pro-life. That's a human being inside the mother. But there are some things about that. We don't know in that point of conception when and where and how. How does God join the spirit with that little baby inside? That's mind-boggling. So there's some things we don't know. There's some things we cannot do. But on those things that we do know, and on those things that we can do, we need to be busy. So verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed. So Solomon is saying, there are those, verse 4, who just use the clouds as a excuse to say, well, it's just not quite ideal, so I'm not going to do what I need to do. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want us to consider 5 areas in which we see that in a person's life. 5 problem areas, and then 5 areas of our life where we see individuals who need to get up and do what they need to do. Let's consider this morning 5 related problems. Here's the person, verse 4. I go outside, I look at the cloud. Well, it's not ideal. What does that lead to? Well, one thing that comes to my mind is procrastination. Like Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, go thy way when you have a convenient season. I'll call you. We'll talk about this some more. And so people just put it off. I go outside. I see the clouds. Oh, I'm not going to do what I want to do. And we end up procrastinating. And we end up putting it off. Another area that comes to my mind is that of excuse making. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Well, I went out and saw the clouds, and so I don't guess I'm going to do anything today. And so we begin to make excuses. Why we don't need to do this, or why we don't need to do that. And you know, turn to Luke 14, but that really began all the way back in the beginning of time, didn't it? When Adam and Eve sinned and eating of that fruit, and God comes and wants to know about that matter. What does Adam say? The woman that thou gavest me, you know. And then she says, well, you know, the devil. So it's in many to just simply make excuses. And here, of course, is the parable of the great supper. And the kingdom is like a great supper. Luke 14:16. And a certain man made a great supper and invited many. He sent forth his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a field, and I must needs go out and see to it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so when
the matter comes up of what we need to be doing, the first thing out of our mouth is some excuse why we can't do that. Or we put it off. This idea of observing the clouds, I think, is common. And we just say, well, today's not the day. When in fact we could have gone out and done something. Another related problem is just outright laziness. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. I asked Luke if he would read another proverb that talks about the lazy man, a little sleep, a little slumber. But turn with me to Proverbs 22. If we're not careful with this mentality, he that observeth the clouds will not sow. If we're not careful, we begin to be just someone who just always procrastinates, always making excuses. And maybe is just downright lazy. When was the last time you heard a sermon on laziness? I don't think that's something we talk about much. Being idle, being lazy. And we see a lot in our world where people won't work when they could work. Where people won't be active when they could be. And we're building a generation of just lazy people. And it goes along with this idea of excuse making. Look at this in Proverbs 22:13. The sluggard saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain. I can't go outside today, there's a lion. Were there lions in Judea, Judah, Jerusalem? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that there were lions. Young prophet gets eaten by a lion, 1 Kings 13. There's lions. But this is, well, there's a lion out there, I can't go outside, and so I'm not going to do anything. When in fact there's not. Turn with me to Proverbs 26:13. It's just making an excuse. It's just looking at the clouds. It's not ideal. Proverbs 26:13. The sluggard saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. I tell you what, if you're going to pick an excuse, pick a good one. Get a good one. And that's a lion. Lion. Ooh. Make it sound good if you're going to make it, you know. And then we just don't go do what we need to do. When was the last time we heard a sermon on laziness or idleness? And we need to be reminded that that is a serious problem. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 when Paul talks about 1 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul talks about the young widows who he's encouraging to marry, he gives some reason for that. So they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have left their first pledge, and withal they learn to be idle. They learn to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So rather than filling their time with good, they fill it with gossip and other kinds of problems. But they learn to be idle. There's nothing wrong with taking a break, and we all need a rest. But idleness is something completely different. Turn with me to the books that we're studying, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. For even when we were with you, verse 10, we commanded you, if any will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some that walk among you disorderly, that work not at all, but are busybodies. Work is good for us. Work is good for young people. Well, I can't. There's some clouds out there today. I can't. And then we just don't go do what we need to do. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We need to be reminded of the seriousness of idleness and then using that idle time and in an improper way to say or do something that is wrong. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Peter 4:15. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters. I've got free time and I'm just going to meddle in somebody else's business. Obviously, we need to help others and we need to be aware of the problems of others and get involved with others. But this is talking about meddling in something that's not none of our business.
Where does that come from? A lot of it comes from just idle time. So procrastination, excuse making, laziness, or maybe distraction. We're so busy looking at the clouds that we can't and won't get out and be busy. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Another related problem is that we're distracted on things that are unimportant, things that aren't as important as the kingdom. And we focus on that and we don't get out and get to work. When Jesus called others, Luke 9:59, he said unto another, "Follow me," but he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But he said unto him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but go thou and publish abroad the kingdom of God." And he said to another, "I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house." There's a distraction that's going on here. We don't have a single-minded focus on serving God and doing what God says. And so we're busy watching the clouds and not doing what we need to be doing. We're familiar with Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Jesus comes to their home. What a great privilege to have Jesus in your own home. That would be quite exciting. And yet we find Martha, Luke 10:40, is cumbered, literally distracted. Cumbered about, distracted with much serving. And ladies, I know how that you want to get your place right, and you want the food right, and you want the place right, and there's a time for that. But Jesus is in your home. I mean, it's a time to listen to Him and His Word. And so Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She hath chosen the good part. Mary, Martha was just simply bothered by getting the house ready. In verse 41, Jesus said, "You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one," look at that, "one single-minded devotion to serving Christ." And at this moment, we've got to prioritize our time. So there's a difference between many things, verse 41, distraction, and one thing, priorities, verse 42. And that's sitting and listening to Jesus. So Mary chose to be focused. Martha chose to be distracted. And this idea of just going outside and observing the clouds, "Well, I'll just go back in and not do anything," it leads to these situations. And then maybe just we don't do anything at all. It gets to the point where we're just not doing anything at all. In Judges chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there, some of the Israelites that should have come with Deborah and Barak to fight Sisera, they just chose to do nothing. They hear the call to war. They hear the invitation to come help their brethren. But in Judges chapter 5 and verse 23, "Cursed are you, Miraz," said the angel of Jehovah, "curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of Jehovah, to the help of Jehovah against the mighty." We just don't do anything. And we saw in our lesson a couple of weeks ago out of Nehemiah that in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5, that some of those wouldn't put their necks to the work. They wouldn't come work while everybody else was working on the wall. And we find ourselves just doing nothing. Because we go out and we observe the clouds. Well, it's not ideal for me right now, and so I'm not going to do what I need to do. What are some areas of our life then where we need to consider this important principle? And I want to encourage us to get up and be busy. Well, one thing that comes to my mind is that of obedience to the gospel. There are individuals who know what they need to do to be saved. They've heard many sermons. They've heard many Wednesday night talks. They've sat in Bible classes. They know what they need to do, and yet they don't do it. And I've had individuals tell me, well, when I retire, when I get some things straightened out at work, when I get some things straightened out at home, I've got to get some of my affairs. They're just observing the clouds and they're not sowing. Today is the day of salvation. I think we've lost our sense of urgency in our modern culture. You read in the book of Acts, it says straightway or immediately. You read that. You read a sense of urgency from the Philippian jailer.
You see urgency from the Ethiopian eunuch. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? There's a sense of urgency. And the devil throws cold water on that urgency and that fire and gets us just to simply do nothing.
So a day turns into a week, and a week turns into a month, and months turn into years, and individuals who need to be baptized into Christ just don't do it. And we have all the excuses, and we have all of the whys and the wherefores. And we're waiting for that ideal time. Today, Paul said, today is that ideal time. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. And so, if that is your case, I would encourage you this morning to get up and act.
Well, I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. I need more time. And we go down through all of that.
When in fact there's an answer to all of that. If I don't know enough, I can study. I'll stay here all day. As long as it takes to learn what we need to learn. And Saul of Tarsus was a violent man when he was converted. He certainly wasn't good enough. And so we need to be careful about that. We just put it off and put it off. And what happens is, and I know of a personal case, Sharon, and I know of a personal case where probably 3 years ago, an individual said to me, I know that I need to be baptized into Christ scripturally. He had done that in a denominational kind of way when he was much younger. And he told me, Chris, I need to do that again. And when I approached him a couple of months ago about it, he said, no, I think I'm good. So the longer we wait, the more we just change our mind and we don't do what we need to do. How about coming back to the Lord? How about a family member who needs to come back to the Lord? How about someone we know that needs to come back to the Lord? Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there. I know, preacher, I need to come back, or the elders come by and visit. I know. And I'll do that one day. Someone who has become unfaithful, someone who's left the church, someone who is out in the world. I'm not going to attend anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. And I'm not speaking about those matters in an insensitive way. I'm very sensitive to that matter. And that's a very emotional matter, especially for parents and things like that. But these individuals have made a choice. And like the prodigal son, they are enjoying their living. They're enjoying what's going on in their life. Verse 13, he went into a far country. He joined himself, verse 15, to the citizens. He's having a good time, but then he falls into a problem where he can't even eat. In verse 16, he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So what the devil was promising, things are great back in the world, it doesn't come true, does it? So the devil advertises it that way, but then when you get back into the world, it's something different. And now he realizes that he's at the bottom of the barrel. But look at verse 17. When he came to himself, that's what has to happen. We have to come to ourselves. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? Have you ever looked at that in your Bible? Bread enough and to spare? There's plenty if you'll go back home. There's plenty there. And God stands ready to give that to you and to me. And I perish here with hunger. Look at verse 17. We will not return until we come to our senses and realize where we are. I perish here. And until I realize that, I won't come back. But once I realize that, then I'm on my way back to the Lord if I'll take those steps. And we know the rest of the story, how that the Father is standing there ready to receive him back. And we as a church family are ready with open arms. God certainly is ready with open arms to forgive. But we have to come to ourselves and come back.
We can't just simply say, go outside, look at the clouds and say, well, today's not ideal. We've got to make that step and come back. What about personal evangelism? We want to grow. We want to share the gospel with others. Paul says that we need to be ready to open up our mouths and have mouths seasoned with salt where we can give an answer to those around about us. And we get excited and we talk about evangelism inside the church building. But do we do any of it outside the church building? Or do we go outside and observe the clouds and say, well, today's not a good day to pass out a bulletin. Today's not a good day to invite someone to the church service. Do we do that? And it's easy to do. But we have to be active. And not say, well, there's a lion in the streets. And what if I get rejected? And what if they say no? And what if I don't have the right answer? Instead of going through all of that, just simply start inviting people and talking with people. Studying with people. Instead of observing the clouds and then going inside and not doing anything. What about life's uncertainties? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2. There's a number of passages that I could have chosen for this, but since we're studying in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, I wanted to use this passage. What about life's uncertainties? We don't know what's going to happen at work. I've heard some things at work where there's going to be some changes. Or I went to my regular doctor's routine last week and he saw a spot. Or children going away to college or a number of other things that we're not certain about. What do we do with that? Do we go out and observe the clouds and then come in and do nothing? Or do we stay busy serving the Lord? There are two places in Scripture where Paul said that he was hindered. This is one of them. We'll look at another one in just a minute. But look at 1 Thessalonians 2:17. When Paul was at Thessalonica and then he went on to Athens, there were some uncertain things about that. He wasn't sure if he could come back to Thessalonica. He tried once and again. Satan hindered him. He doesn't know if he can come back. So what do? We just sit and do nothing, right? No, Paul stayed active in preaching in Athens and then he sent Timothy back. So there are going to be some uncertain things in life. We don't observe the clouds and walk back in and say, well, I'm not going to do anything. We stay busy in the Lord's work. But we, brethren, being bereaved of you for a short season in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more exceedingly to see your face with great desire, because we would fain have come unto you. But I, Paul, once and again, and Satan hindered us. For what is our hope and our joy and crown of glory? Are not ye, even ye, before our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. When therefore we could no longer forbear, we just decided to do anything. We don't know. We don't know what we can do, so we're just not going to do anything. No, we thought it'd be good to be left behind at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, and God's minister in the gospel of Christ. And we've been studying in our class what came of that. But I'm going to be preaching in Athens. I'm going to send Timothy back. I would like to come. I can't come. But that's not going to keep me from working. There's going to be things that are uncertain in life, whether it's our health, whether it's our job, and a number of other things. But we don't observe the clouds and then walk back in and do nothing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, the second place where Paul talks about being hindered with regard to his work. When Paul met uncertain things, he kept busy. And that's the point. And we might not know what's coming down the road with regard to our health. Especially if we've been told or been diagnosed with something severe. We don't know the details of that, but we stay busy in the Lord's work. And with our work and our jobs and other kinds of things. Look at Romans 15 and verse 22. Wherefore also I was hindered these many times from coming to you, so I did nothing, right? No. But now, having no more any place in these regions, and having these many years a longing to come unto you, whensoever I go into Spain, for I hope to see you in my journey. He was uncertain whether or not he could see them at Rome. But he stayed busy. And to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first in some measure I shall have been satisfied with your company. Look at verse 25. But now I say, I go unto Jerusalem ministering unto the saints. I'd like to come to Rome. I've been hindered many times. I don't know if I can, so I'm going to do nothing. No, I'm going right now to Jerusalem to minister to them. He stayed busy. So with regard to our uncertainties in life, there's going to be plenty of those. But we stay busy doing what we need to be doing. And then last of all, personal growth. The Hebrew writer says, let us press on to maturity. There are opportunities to serve in this congregation. There's opportunities for us to grow in our marriage. There's opportunities for us to grow as parents. There's opportunities for us to grow as individual Christians at Warfield Boulevard. And we don't need to walk outside and say, well, I see some clouds, and so I'm not going to do anything. Joe talked about this Wednesday night with regard to the men stepping up to the plate. But all of us need to grow. And we don't need to be the same next year that we are this year or from last year. We need to be adding and growing and maturing. And I encourage us to do those things. Well, the lesson's yours. Do you need to obey the gospel? Do you need to repent and come back home like the prodigal son? Do we need to talk with our neighbors in personal evangelism? Do we have uncertainties? I believe all of us probably have some uncertainties in our life somewhere along the way. Do we have growth? He who regards the clouds will not sow. So I just go outside. Well, not ideal. Walk back in, do nothing. Day in, day out. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But we're going to tell him this morning that's no longer going to happen. We're going to get up and get busy and do what we need to do. Whatever it is for you, whatever it is for me, I would encourage us to do that. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. We understand that there's things in life that we don't know, we can't control. But those things that we do know and those things that we are responsible for, today is the day to get up and do that. If we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?